The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by DraftKings here at Bar Canada at the D. Downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Yeah.
What's happening, man? You good?
I'm doing great.
Got that schedule fever?
Yeah, man. I forgot to send you. I thought I sent you a video yesterday, which I'm now really frustrated I didn't.
Kelly, I spent the 90 seconds prior to the broadcast today telling me about this thing he sent me yesterday. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm like, oh, yeah, I sent it to someone else.
Yeah, not me. On the show today, we will talk about a smattering of things. Zach Cohen on tennis. He's got a thought on the NBA draft. He's got a thought on the first overall pick.
Yes, he does.
Which I did not expect to see coming this morning. Nick Whalen on the NBA. Jonathan Davis will join us to talk hockey. Is he in studio or on table with us? Do we know?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Adam Burke. Now, that's a get right there. We'll talk baseball. We'll update the Guardians with him as I steal the Guardians for one more month. We'll do all that. We will also have Steve Fezzik will be on the show tomorrow, but Steve Fezzik has made all of his week one NFL plays. We will share those with you.
All of them? He's stopping after today?
No, he's not stopping. I don't think he was aware that DraftKings put out week after week of NFL lines. So I think he was just locked into week one.
This is a little bit what we were talking about yesterday, though. Just the order some of us have all gotten used to, right? The schedule of when things are get posted odds-wise, when these releases happen.
Yeah.
We all kind of have to reset our processes.
Well, so here's the deal on schedule release. Again, I always refer to NFL draft day as Christmas for adults. This is kind of like, I don't know, what's the holiday equivalent? President's Day schedule release. It's awesome because from a betting perspective, it gives us the ability to sort of plan bets. Let me explain. Can we throw up the Trip Tepper tweet, by the way? Trip Tepper tweeted this yesterday, and I just wanted to start with this because it sort of explains the brief history of a numbers game with these kinds of schedule releases. Trip Tepper said, ANG has really altered my approach to NFL with total betting, with season win total betting. I'd rather bet in-season adjusted win totals or look to the alt-win market this summer. I look for under 90% of the time, not sure the schedule release will trigger even a single win totals bet for me this week. Now, what he means by that is, I, for many years on both the Betting Dork podcast and the Beating the Book podcast, and then the early days of a numbers game, talked about this stock market-like vehicle that I used to bet into, this off-the-grid stock market-like vehicle. I won't give you the name of the financial institution that is no longer with us, but it rhymes with Schmiemann Brothers. And they used to do...
I was going
to
say, pretty sure you've said it multiple times on air before, but okay.
And they used to do something over there that was very back, you know, back of the office that was not legal, but it was the most heavily participated in betting vehicle you could possibly imagine nationwide on this. And it was essentially before adjusted season win totals were offered in season. Remember, these are only adjusted season win totals in the NFL is only like a 3 or 4 year thing. Yeah. Before that, we had to do it in back rooms and it was Wall Street style. Anyway, 1 year I was like the biggest winner. 1 year I was one of the biggest losers. Like it was very volatile, but it was awesome. We did it in football pro in college. And then you'll remember, Kelly, that the first, remember primetime action when we did it, books didn't really get how to price it when they first started it 3-4 years ago. So you'll remember there was a Broncos win week one of an NFL season. So yep, they had a whole pre-flop season win total for months before the season. They then won a week one game that they were favored in, and DraftKings adjusted their season win total by 3 full games. So, and I was like, you got to bet under on this. This is not how this is supposed to work with pricing.
Is that 2 years ago?
It's like three years ago.
I mean, I remember it like it was yesterday.
Because we all bet it.
Yeah.
We all bet and we cash it easily. So this is the deal with these. So it's fun to talk about, but the reason we talk about it is to then sort of plan where we might bet. So let's just, you did a great job with these, Kelly. So before the release came yesterday, we already knew the opponents of each team. And so we already knew based on season win totals, who had the toughest group of who had the toughest schedules, who had the easiest schedules before we knew the sequencing. Let's do the easiest first. The Atlanta Falcons, we already knew, Kelly, to have the easiest schedule in all of football. A lot of that has to do with the division in which they play, the NFC South. But now we know, based on yesterday's release, how it sort of breaks down. And how it breaks down is that they have a really sort of tough first three games, and then it opens up. So let me be specific about those three games. So if you're thinking about Falcons bets, the point of this, and we'll get to this, it'll become more apparent when we go to other teams, but the Falcons start out home Pittsburgh, okay, but then it's at Philly, home Kansas City. So if you're thinking about going over on the Falcons, like if that's your inclination, you may want to hang out till after week three, right? After the Eagles and Chiefs games. So these are the kinds of things. That's just a brief example. This is the kind of things that we're trying to look at. You don't have to bet pre-flop. You can wait and bet adjusted season win totals at what the schedule dictates. And you know how that goes. Sometimes the schedule works out as it's supposed to. Other times it doesn't. But if you have an inclination on one of these teams over under, know where the dip is.
It's kind of like live betting, just that's in right. a game, right? Like that's you right. can circle spots of where you think you're going to be. You hope to get in. Doesn't always play out that way, right? So you got to be okay.
If it
with,
were that easy, it'd
exactly.
Be that, right.
So it's always the it's just like you know preseason win total bets you make for a reason because you're usually a little bit more confident in these. I think you want to set. You can look for spots, you know, and whether it's division odds, conference, you know, it could be any kinds of futures that you're betting. What I think maybe we'll do next week is we'll go through each one of these teams a little bit more deeply like this.
Well, I want to go through the yep. other easiest ones and hardest ones. So the other easiest ones, the Chargers. Okay, that's true. It is by in terms of their aggregate group of opponents in terms of season win totals. Remember, don't do it on last year's win percentage. Do it on season win totals. The Chargers have the second easiest, but if you really break down the Chargers' schedule, it doesn't really get that super easy until the final four games. That's when they play the Bucs and the Broncos at home, at the Patriots, at the Raiders. So they finish with a really easy flourish. So know that even though people are going to say they have an easy schedule, it really doesn't get super easy until then. It's not difficult until then, but that's when the easy flourish begins. So keep that in mind if you're like, oh, I want to bet the Chargers over. What's the ideal time? Bears. Boy, did Caleb Williams find himself in a great situation, not only as a number one pick in the draft with great built-in teammates, but the Bears have an easy schedule. Keep in mind they do have a three in a row late November and early December that is the most difficult part of that schedule. And what I'm referring to there is they've got an at Lions, at Niners, at Vikings, three road games in a row, part to their schedule, followed by a home game against the Lions. So it gets difficult later. In other words, something to just note in your schedule analysis. Oh, the Bears are easy, but it does get hard later. Jets, also one of the easiest schedules in all of football with Aaron Rodgers now coming back from the Achilles injury, but know that it ends brutally. It's really easy up at the top at the beginning, but at the end, they close with at Miami, at Jacksonville, home Rams, at Buffalo, home Miami.
Oh my gosh. That's got in season under win total
written under.
All over it for me.
You see the exercise we're performing here. So that's the thing. Like, note that the ideal time perhaps to go under on the Jets, injuries aside, because that could throw off all of these, right? God forbid Aaron Rodgers goes down again or something like that.
Especially week five. They're doing the week five and they're not taking a bye week, going right back to play week six.
That's right.
I'm in, Gil.
London, week five, and they've elected to continue to play the following week. The other fifth easiest schedule belongs to the New Orleans Saints. Again, a lot of that has to do with the division in which they play. But note that theirs starts hard. Week two, after a week one game, week two on, it's at Dallas, home Philly, at Atlanta, at Kansas City, and then move forward a few weeks and it's at the Chargers. So there is, despite the fact that they're going to be broadcast as a very easy schedule, there is that stretch between weeks two and five, specifically where it's difficult. So you can plan, like let's say you have an inclination to bet the Saints over. Maybe you wait till after that stretch up through week five and then you bet it. We'll go through the hardest. And by the way, can I just do the one hardest? Because I think this is, of all the things that happened yesterday with the schedule release, the single biggest headline to me is the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule. I think they are the big losers of schedule release day. The Pittsburgh Steelers, who we already knew would have the toughest schedule in 2024. Did you see how their schedule broke down?
Yeah.
There's 17 games in an NFL season. Remember that, of course. This is the janky, uneven 17 games now. So it is damn near half their schedule. But the last eight games of the Pittsburgh Steelers schedule, again, almost half of their schedule. Here are their last eight games, Kelly. This is incredible. Home Baltimore, at Cleveland, at Cincinnati, home Cleveland, at Philly, at Baltimore, home KC, home Bengals. You have got to be kidding me. That is the worst eight-game gauntlet I have ever witnessed in my life. We talked about how the Chiefs had a bad seven-game gauntlet, but they're the Kansas City Chiefs, right? And we said, well, if they can go 4-3, they might take it, that kind of thing. If you're the Steelers or a Steelers fan or one of these people who, again, I don't know if you know this, Kelly, Mike Tomlin has the streak going. If Mike Tomlin is going to keep the not having a losing season streak alive, they are going to have to bank a bevy of wins before they get to those final eight games, because otherwise it ain't happening. Not to mention that they start at Atlanta, at Denver in the elevation, and home Chargers. So it's not as if it's easy peasy to begin the season either. But those eight in a row, they're the biggest losers of schedule release day. I've never seen anything like that before.
Pretty sure it was less than 48 hours ago. I said basically these exact words with you of, I'm not messing around with the Mike Tomlin magic beans this year.
That's right.
After schedule release day, if you think the Jets I've got circled for an in-season under, yeah, Steelers.
Brutal. Brutal. We'll go through the other four of the toughest schedules. We'll also talk about who starts the easiest, who starts the hardest. We'll get to a whole bunch more NFL stuff and Steve Fezzik's week one plays that he's already made. Some basketball and tennis and a thought on the number one overall pick from Zach Cohen. Next.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price, normally priced at $240. You can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months, 14 of VSiN Pro Access for less than 50 cents a day. 50 cents! When you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with promo code ANG.
Promo code ANG as in a numbers game. We are slashing prices here, folks. Spring savings time over at VSiN. Got to use that promo code ANG. Get all the incredible, incredible stuff that Zachary Cohen writes about every single day up on the website.
Wow. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You would make a spectacular used car pitchman.
Thanks, man. Well, you know the only job I'm leaving this place for, right?
Maitre d' at a restaurant?
Oh, no, it's as soon as my man Phil Steele steps aside over at Flexio.
Over at Flexio.
Coming for his job. He just doesn't know it yet.
His name is Phil Steele? No, that's Phil Steele's a college football guy. What do you do? Phil Steele.
What's that guy's name? Flex Seal.
Yeah, Flex Seal. You'd be great at it. By the way, I just want to point this out, Kelly. I just want to brag a little bit about this. May I brag?
Phil Swift.
Phil Swift, thank you. No relation to DeAndre. Or Taylor, as far as we know. The number of Elizabeths and Alyssas and Lisas who have liked my tweets over the last 24 hours. Yep. Oh, my God. It's all genuine humans. All of them. There's got to have been 150 Elizabeths and 475 Amys in the last 24 hours. Way to go, Elon Musk. Nice job.
So many Elizabeths. I'm also crushed now that I just Googled Phil Swift's name, and apparently Jerry Seinfeld's coming for that job too, apparently.
Oh, you're toast. Sorry. This is
the hell. My hopes and dreams just came crashing down.
By the way, if you think Kelly is like joking about how deflated he is right now, he's not joking. This is awful. Wow. Because he'll get it over you.
Yeah. I am cheaper. I promise you I'm cheaper.
Zach Cohen joins us, everybody. He is a VSiN senior writer. You can follow him at one of the great Twitter handles there is, Betting on X. And he comes to us now, VSiN senior editor and writer, I should point out. Betting on X, he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Zach, how you doing, man?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Doing very well, man. I hope your clay season has been better than mine. Mine has been kind of meh, giving back some units. How about yours?
Yeah, overall, Clay season's been really good, but I've had a tougher room than I did Madrid and Monte Carlo.
I have one play today. I am on Danielle freaking Collins, +133. You can get her better, a few cents better than that right now, going up against Aryna Sabalenka a little later on. You, sir, do you have any tennis today?
I was on the wrong side of that Hubie match, which was just, you know, an out-of-body experience watching Hubie in a, you know, a break fest like that. He went up a break in that third set and just couldn't get his first serves in, so that was a tough loss. I am on a parlay a little bit later with Stefanos Tsitsipas money line with Collins +4.5. I wanted a little bit of action on both matches, but, you know, wasn't willing to lay the games with Tsitsipas or take the 2.5 with Collins. I needed a little bit more than that. But if I like something in that match, I do think that Collins is the right call. I just think the way she played against Azarenka, moving her all around the court and just really bullying her just right from the center of the court was really impressive. I think these slower conditions will also, you know, play into her favor a little bit more than they did in Madrid.
Yeah, and she is ornery. You ever watch a Danielle Collins match, by the way, Kelly? Yeah.
Feisty. Oh,
if you're against her, you hate her, right? She's just so funny. But if you're on her, oh, my God, you love back.
Retiring?
She's retiring. She says she's retiring. It's her greatest year ever.
That's a
lot of folks.
She's workshopping a new fist pump where she, like, pulls it back in. She's just the most intense player you'll see in
workshopping
any
sport. Workshopping it. Workshopping. We'll see how it goes for her. See if that brings her back into the game. Dominic Thiem is retiring. Camila Giorgi just retired. A whole bunch of players. All right, Zag, any French Open plays before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really tough tournament to handicap, which is funny because we're doing a French Open guide this year, and it'll be out on either Monday or Tuesday. So it picked a good year for that with everybody injured. But I do think Iga on the women's side, that's where I'm going to go with it. And I think on the men's side, maybe just kind of sprinkle the board with, you know, Casper Ruud, Stefanos Tsitsipas. I could even be talked into Daniil Medvedev at 20-1, and, you know, just because of what we're seeing on the men's side with injuries. I guess I do think that if we hear some positive stuff out of the Alcaraz camp, like, maybe I'll take a bite at +200, but it's a little bit hard knowing that he might not be able to rip that forehand.
Yeah, and I still think Djokovic is the sneaky freaky brother sneaking in from the rear. Like, I just think he is laying low. And yes, he was hit with a stray water bottle on his head, and then he had that just completely uneven performance against Tabilo. But that's not enough for me to just take him off the board for me. We'll see.
I think what I'm nervous about with Djokovic is that he fired Ivan Isovic or parted ways, whatever it was, and now the hold percentage is down at 83%. Ivan Isovic has been credited with getting that hold percentage up, with reworking that serve, and I wonder if it's something where, you know, that serve motion was hurting his elbow or something like that that we just don't really know. I just think that might not be a coincidence that the serve hasn't been as good since he changed coaches.
Yeah, could be. Could very well be. All right, so here's the deal. And again, a men's side that has injuries with Sinner, with Alcaraz. We don't know if Nadal's playing, so it's never been this much up in the air as, you know, as it has been for years now. NBA, last night, Celtics get the gentleman sweep against the Cavs. Amazing that ended up, like, right on the number after the Cavs looked like they might even be able to pull off an upset at one point. And then, of course, we had the, you know, series that I just cannot wrap my arms around. The Mavericks take the 3-2 lead in the best of seven series against the Thunder as they take home court back now, headed to game 6 in Dallas. They win it 104-92 yesterday as 4.5-point dogs. We have the Nuggets and the T-Wolves game 6 back in Minnesota tonight, where the T-Wolves are 2.5-point favorites. And then we got game 6 back in Indiana tomorrow night, where the Pacers are trying to force a game 7. They're 5.5-point favorites against the Knicks. Any thoughts on Denver and Minnesota tonight, or the Knicks and the Pacers tomorrow, let alone game 6, I should say, between the Mavs and the Thunder?
Well, I will just say I was Mavs before the series, thought they were going to win the series when they took one of those games on the road. Then I kind of changed my mind after I saw what we saw in game 4. But now I really regret it, because I just don't think that Oklahoma City is capable of scoring on this Dallas team. So I do think the Mavericks will get it done in game 6 now. But I have been flip-flopping on that series. Can't get a read on it either. But I do think tonight it's really tempting to take the Nuggets at plus money, almost too tempting. I think the way I'm going to go at it is I'm going to take the team total over 101.5. That way I'm protected in case, you know, the Timberwolves offense does show up in this game. But I do think it's not a fluke that Denver has figured out the Minnesota defense. They really have no answer for Joker, whether it's his, you know, scoring or facilitating. So I do think that at the very least, even if Denver does lose tonight, they'll put up at least 102 points.
You have conviction on any of those three, Kelly? Any of them?
I did bet the Mavs for the closeout game after last night. I think that's, you know, as you brought up, Zach, I think for the Maverick side of things, of just what's been most impressive so far really has been the defense. I don't know about everybody else. Sure felt like I was watching a very different Luka Doncic last night. If he'd been riding on the good stuff through four games, he got the better stuff for game five.
The good stuff.
Yeah, he was looking a little bit more like Luka Doncic.
Yeah. All right, Zach, I didn't think we would be talking about this today, but you have a thought on the number one pick in the NBA draft, June 29th.
Yeah, I wish it was a really strong thought. I mean, I do think that Alex Saar being the favorite to go number one is probably right. He's right about minus 220 right now. But I do think that Donovan Klingon at 14-1 is something that should be considered. And it kind of depends on how much say you think that Quinn Snyder has within the Hawks organization. But, you know, I know that we're seeing a lot of slander for Rudy Gobert, but I do think that Klingon can come in and make a Rudy Gobert-like impact relatively quickly. I think he's probably one of the best interior defenders in this draft. I just think right away he could come in and kind of anchor a Hawks defense that has been miserable with Trae Young at point guard. And if they do keep Trae Young around, I think they really need to strongly consider bringing Klingon in. I think that this is obviously, you know, a time where we're not seeing traditional centers going number one anymore. You have to have kind of that inside and out ability on offense. But I do think that in a draft that is viewed as really weak, getting a guy with all defensive potential at number one might be something that they could consider, especially, yeah, for a coach that coached the Jazz, coached a team that had Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert to a lot of success in a tough Western Conference. So I just think it's something that's going to be considered. And I also think Klingon, you know, it's the NBA combine, take it for what it's worth. He has shown the ability to kind of step out and make some threes.
All right, there's a thought. Donovan Klingon, 14-1. The third shortest shot, if you will, behind the two Frenchmen, Alexander Saar and Zachary Risacher, who are both close to, well, I should say Saar is the favorite now, minus 210. He's taking some money. Risacher is at plus 210. But Klingon, 14-1. I misspoke. I said June 29th. It's actually June 27th.
How dare
for the NBA draft. Pardon me.
For people that are, you know, probably unaware, Zach does, one of the guys who does a lot of the international scouting work throughout the offseason and during the season. So a man who knows a thing or two about this.
Who's the best international player of the bunch, Zach, in your opinion?
I think Topic is going to be really good. There's some concerns about his jumper, but I think he's unbelievable.
Nikola Topic.
He's going to be
get
so
ready.
Jovic, Jokic, Topic. Let's go.
We have a Nikola Jokic, a Nikola Jovic, and now we will have a Nikola Topic. That'll be fun. Zach, thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck today, man.
Thanks, guys.
We'll come back. We'll update the PGA where Xander is doing his thing because, of course, it's the first round.
What, he lost?
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. Bar Canada at the D. Still to come this hour, we are going to talk to Jonathan Davis on the NHL playoffs. Looking forward to that. We'll get Steve Fezzik's week one plays in the National Football League and Nick Whalen standing by as well. Adam Burke as well later on. What are you nodding about?
Nothing.
Nothing? Okay. Just curious.
That's my nod of I'm talking to the crew right now, Gil.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Please continue.
I'm sorry. I just bet Scottie Scheffler, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I bet Scottie Scheffler because...
Did you get a little longer number?
Little bit. Not too much.
No. I expect... That's what I would expect.
Yeah. Because right now, again, at the PGA, Xander Schauffele, 5-under through 9. He's got the one-stroke advantage, 5-under through 9. One shot lead over Tony Finau.
Let's go, Tony.
It's your boy right
there.
Got
top 10s on both those guys. Let's go.
All right, Finau.
Not even really my boy, but he was that guy of like... I'm like, all the numbers say he should be good this week, but his putter, as it is for how much we've talked about Tony Finau's putting before, it's like real bad right now, real bad.
For those wondering where the crack man is, you know where the crack man is, Kelly? Any idea?
I don't know. Arizona? New Jersey. He's got to be in New Jersey.
He left the state to go make bets on the NFL schedule release because they're taking more money out of state
good on
than they are here in Nevada. Good for you, Craig, man. He'll be back next week.
Say, what's he bet?
I don't know.
Maybe he wants to bet him first and then let us know.
We'll get some physics coming up. Ladies and gentlemen, comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's at RotoWire. He's Nick Whalen. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen. Substitute the number one for the letter L. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, guys. Just another great weekend in the sports calendar. We got some huge NBA this weekend. Obviously, we got the PGA ongoing. I do identify, by the way, with Tony Finau as a horrendous, horrendous putter. You can say the same thing about me every weekend as you can Tony Finau. So I just want to give some support to Tony.
That was very modern day of you, too, that you identify as a poor putter.
No, you kind of golfers are annoying. Like, I'm the guy that's like, no, if it takes me less than five shots to get to the green, that's where I'm happy about.
Oh, you're excited.
The putting I don't care about.
How many times have you seen a pro golfer just be so upset with a shot of theirs, and you're like, if I could have done that, I would be so
right,
happy.
Yeah.
I would love to be five under at any point in my life.
That's right. Before we get to your NBA thoughts, this is fun with the NFL schedule, is that the notion of Survivor comes up as well. You have actually given this some thought for week one.
I have, man. I mean, I first of all, I'm a sucker for the schedule release. I know some people complain about the NBA, or excuse me, the NFL just, you know, monopolizing the sports calendar. It's like, you know, we're in the midst of the NBA playoffs and all everybody's talking about is the schedule release. I love it. I mean, we already know the teams everybody's playing. Like, there really shouldn't be any surprises here. And yet it is kind of like Christmas morning, finding out when your team is going to be heading where. And yeah, you got to, you know, start to get some action in, right? All the lines pop up right away over at the DK Sportsbook. And yeah, whether you're in Circa Million, as I will be again this coming season, or if you're playing Circa Survivor, now's the time to start grinding that research. You know, I do a confidence pool pick'em league, you know, where you rank every game 1 through 16 each week. I'm already going through, you know, checking things out, doing some initial research. I think we have a few decent options if you're playing Circus Survivor, looking at week one. I think the most popular play, guys, is going to be Cincinnati at home against New England. That number is up to 8.5 now at DraftKings. That's on the rise even in the last 12 hours. I think that is by far going to be the most popular play. If you want to zag a little bit, you know, I think Seattle at home against what remains of the Denver Broncos could be an interesting play. I think there's a lot of positive momentum around Mike McDonald. I have no idea what Denver's going to be doing at quarterback. I think that's a team that will likely need, you know, a few weeks or even a couple of months to kind of hit its stride. I also like the Niners at home against the Jets. I know this Jets team will be a lot better with Aaron Rodgers, but you're still kind of starting fresh with Rodgers. He's coming off the Achilles. He really didn't get any reps with this team last season. I think that is a brutal, brutal spot for the Jets to have to go on the road to San Francisco in week one. And then the other one would be Tampa Bay. I'm still kind of making up my mind. Do I think Tampa Bay could carry over what it did last season? But I think they have a pretty soft landing in week one against the Commanders team that'll be starting a rookie quarterback.
How dare you, first of all, on that one.
How dare you?
I have not given it enough of a look yet. My instinct, though, is I don't want to burn the Bengals week one. I do not want to do that.
Well, you know what my first instinct was that? I found a teaser leg already. your obvious week one teaser, guys, is it's Packers up against the Eagles and Bengals down.
There it is.
I'm sure those numbers will still exist.
Your teaser of the week. The other issue with Circa Survivor is we have two Wednesday Christmas Day games. Wednesday. Let me repeat that. Yes. Wednesday. So you got the Chiefs at the Steelers, and you got the Ravens at the Texans. There's also a game the next day, Thursday, December 26th, which is on Amazon. Kelly, get ready. Mm-hmm. So that's the Seahawks at the Bears. Now, one would assume, and you know what they say about assuming, it makes you regret what you thought initially, I believe is the statement. Mm-hmm. One would assume that they will include all three of those games in the Christmas quarter.
They better,
right? Because if they don't, if they just, Nick said they better. Because if they only keep it to the two Christmas games, can I make an outlandish statement? You ready for an outlandish statement? My buddy Tommy always goes, can I make an outlandish statement, Gil?
Yes, please.
He warns you in advance. I'm going to do that right now. If it's only the two Christmas games, I might consider not playing Survivor at all. How about that?
Wow. Mm.
Because I think you do get to a point where you don't want to be involved. Forget the money. You don't want to be involved in something emotionally for that long and know that there's this two-game nonsense.
Gamble.
Oh, complete nonsense.
Coin flip gamble.
And remember, God knows something could happen and it'd get postponed for whatever reason, right? And then you're down to one. You can't have that. So literally it's to the point where if you have it, it's fewer than three games. I wonder how many people will be like, I'm not going to do it. I said consider, by the way.
Don't worry. I heard that part. Yeah.
Consider not playing. All right, NBA, Nick, let's get to it. First of all, any observation on the Mavericks and the Thunder last night? I said earlier, this is a series I just cannot wrap my arms around at all. Like, it's on paper, it's the second best of the semifinal series. But it's like the one where, from a handicapping standpoint, I have no idea what I've been watching. And so the Mavericks win it, and they win it handily last night. They're headed back to Dallas to try to close out the Thunder in six. That is not until Saturday. The Mavs are favored by four. Let's start there. What is your thought on this series?
So I have been a Dallas bettor, guys, throughout this playoff run. And I had Mavs in six in this series. Now, we have a chance to of course, cash that on Saturday. But I'm with you, man. I've had a really tough grasp or a tough time getting a grasp on this series, specifically from a player prop perspective. I really thought this would be a series where Kyrie Irving would be able to feast. There'd be all this attention paid to Luka Doncic. And instead, you know, OKC has adopted this strategy of throwing hard double teams at Kyrie Irving, especially over the last three games in the series. And for the most part, you know, Kyrie has just kind of sat back and made the right basketball plays, right? I mean, he's got, what, 9, 11, and 12 points, I believe, over the last three games. He's just not really attacking those double teams with as much aggression as you'd expect from a guy like him who's comfortable, you know, making and taking tough shots. And, you know, it's led to Dallas relying more on their role players, which in round one did not go well. They could not identify a consistent third option whatsoever. But the combination of PJ Washington, Derrick Jones Jr., you know, Tim Hardaway has reemerged, you know, as a guy who they can depend on now off the bench. It's a dicey strategy, I think, over the course of a series to essentially kind of be okay with Kyrie Irving just taking a big step back as a scorer. And part of the reason this series was 2-2 going into last night, guys, was because Luka Doncic had not played like Luka. But when you get a 31-11-10 game with five threes from Luka Doncic, like we finally saw last night, that makes that strategy a lot more difficult to execute if you're OKC. So I wonder if we see a pivot on Saturday. Do they throw a different defensive strategy out there? Is this an opportunity to unlock Kyrie Irving? But I would love to take Kyrie over 20.5 points. I mean, his points prop, guys, is down like a full 5 points from where it was at the start of the series. But at the same time, there's just been so much game-to-game variance that I feel like I need to back away.
Yeah, Nick, I was the guy last night who did it. I shot for Kyrie 25 plus because, like you're saying, like it's dropped so much. It's so tempting, but it might get unlocked after what Luka did last night. Watching him when he's hitting the step back threes, that's what was front rimming for about 2 weeks. And now that those are going in, watch out.
What's the opposite of a Steph Curry beautiful three is the Luka. I'm just going to shot put this up there. Oh, look, it went in. Tonight, Nuggets, T-Wolves, game six back in Minnesota. Minnesota trying to stave off elimination. They're favored by 2.5. 205 is the total. What do you got here?
Guys, I'm back on Denver. And, you know, myself, like everybody else, is kind of flip-flopped two or three times in this series, right? I mean, when Denver goes down 0-2, you know, we start to write their obituary and start to coordinate the Minnesota Timberwolves and start to look ahead and say, man, maybe they could beat the Boston Celtics. And now you fast forward a week and we're right back to where we were at the start of this series where everyone's back on the Denver Nuggets. I think Denver has a very good chance to close this series out tonight, even on the road. I have no idea if Mike Conley is going to be out there. I think even if he does push through to play, he's probably not going to be anywhere close to 100%. I mean, a veteran like Mike Conley, who at this point is kind of running out of opportunities to make a run to the NBA Finals, that guy's got to be very injured to miss a game in this spot. So I don't know that we see Conley out there tonight. And we saw how big that is for the Minnesota offense, just not really having any other options outside of Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony Towns. So I'm on the Nuggets. In terms of props, I'm going with Anthony Edwards over 29.5 points. You can get that at plus 100. And I know Denver's done a good job on him defensively over these last couple of games. But even if you think Minnesota's losing tonight, it's hard to imagine Ant not going down swinging, right? I don't think he's going to settle for like an 18-point night in a do or die back against the wall game six. I don't know if we can depend on Carl Anthony Towns to provide decent secondary options for the Timberwolves. So I think this is an Anthony Edwards spot, even if you think Minnesota goes down. And I also like KCP over 1.5 threes at plus 130.
There you go. Very thorough. By the way, yes, no question. The Pacers going to force a game seven tomorrow night?
I think they do. I think they force a game seven and they lose in game seven.
And then they lose in game seven. Nick, great talking to you. Thank you for the Survivor Thoughts week one.
Hey, anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
At Whalen, that's the number one instead of the letter L for Nick. Jonathan Davis on the NHL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription at an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. Sign up today. We'll also give you an extra 2 months for free. That is 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use promo code ANG. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Here's the key, though. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. But you must use promo code ANG.
ANG, it's just like a numbers game. If you ever see our show logo, it's just like that. A numbers game, ANG, use that promo code.
ANG.
ANG.
I believe it's how it's pronounced. That's VSIN.com/subscribe, by the way. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Kelly, you want to talk some hockey?
Let's do it.
Let's do that hockey. Who says that in that promo, by the way? What's that from?
I have no idea.
No idea? You don't have no idea what you're
talking
about? I don't
know what promo you're talking about.
All right. What we ended up having here in the NHL is, and I don't know that we expected this to happen, but we have three out of the four conference semis going to a sixth game, and we have a fourth that is headed to a fifth game, knotted up at two apiece. And to help us navigate through what has been a fascinating NHL playoffs is Jonathan Davis, everybody. We're always thrilled that Jonathan spent some time with us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's the host of Ice Cap on Sirius XM NHL and host of Show Me the Money Hockey Betting Podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at West Coast HKY. How you doing, Jonathan? Great to see you, man.
I'm doing great. It is, yeah, it's just a great night ahead in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have, we've got another elimination game, and we've had three teams that have had chances to eliminate their opponent, and they're a combined 0-4 now.
Yeah.
In these elimination games.
Yeah, it's hockey, man, and none of these have ended. And so we have, as you talked about, we have one more chance at this tonight. One of the two is a potential elimination game, and it begins with the Rangers and the Hurricanes, where the Rangers still are up 3-2 now in the series, but Carolina is a -160 favorite in game six tonight. We're showing -166. And now, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jonathan, this is one of those where even when the Rangers were up 3-0, right? And then 3-1, now it's 3-2. I mean, this has happened, unlike basketball where it's never happened that a team has come back from a 3-0 deficit. It has happened a few times in the NHL. It felt like most people felt like the Hurricanes, even down 3-0, had a legit shot at this.
No question. I mean, okay, so you always hear, you know, the fourth game is always the toughest to win, and it's proving out so far in three of the four series. This is a series that, you know, really did have a feel early on that it should have been going six games. I mean, Carolina deserved a better fate. They had outplayed the Rangers in a couple of the early games and just kept falling one goal short. It's interesting. You know, I was texting back and forth with Jeff Benson after, you know, before game five, and, you know, I was looking at the numbers, and, you know, you had 86% bets and 93% money on the Rangers in game number five, yet that line didn't move. And I think it may have been somewhat to do with the liability that books already had on Carolina. We're seeing it again today. I mean, the Rangers are getting 34% bets, but just 17% of the money. And that line, or the Hurricanes are, and the line keeps jumping up a little towards Carolina. I'm not going to play a side in this one. You know, guys, I'm looking at a prop. And because for me, the Carolina Hurricanes have changed the way they've played the last couple of games. They're a team that's really all about shot volume and not necessarily shot quality. And now they're going more for shot quality. So Igor Shesterkin under 30.5 saves is the way I'm approaching this game tonight.
Igor Shesterkin under 30.5 saves, the Rangers goaltender. So rather than laying the -166, you're going to play it with that derivative prop right there. Play the under saves on Shesterkin. Okay. As the Hurricanes look to force a Game 7 back in New York in that series. Then we have the one series that's still knotted up at two games apiece, and this is out west. And this is to determine what will be the de facto Canadian representative, if you will, in the Final Four here. 2-2, and you have a play on an Edmonton Oiler here, specifically on Leon Draisaitl. What are you doing?
Well, look, this has been one that I've been on since game one of the playoffs. Leon Draisaitl over 1.5. And I started out in game one of the LA series when it was plus 195. And here we are 8 games later, and it's now down to plus 106. And it actually closed at minus 115 going into game number 4. But yeah, he's had 2 or more points in 8 of the 9 games. For me, you know, he has been the most valuable player in the playoffs to date. I just can't shy away from this prop, and I'm getting plus money. So for me, this is the safest bet. From a value standpoint, the Vancouver Canucks have tremendous value at plus money. So I can understand if someone wanted to play Vancouver. I mean, look, they've got 2 of the next 3 games on their home ice. I'm just more comfortable with what's been the safest and the best play from, I think, throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs is Leon over 1.5 points.
But if somebody came to you and say they want to take an adjusted price on the Canucks, you would be okay with that to win the series?
I understand. Sure. I mean, Look, they've played well enough that they could be up 3-1. I mean, there's no question. But so the value is with Vancouver. But for me, again, yeah, like I say, how can you go away from a guy who just continues to dominate on the ice?
All right, so the 2 props today from Jonathan Davis, Igor Shesterkin under 30.5 saves for the Rangers tonight, and then Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers over 1.5 points in the Oilers-Canucks Game 5 back in Vancouver. We won't be able to talk to you before tomorrow's 2 Game 6s, but I wanted to get your thoughts. Bruins staved off elimination. They are back on their home ice for Game 6, trying to knot up their series against the Florida Panthers at 3 apiece. Florida's still a favorite in that game, about minus 150. And then the Stars and the Avalanche staving off elimination last night with their 5-3 win over the Stars. Stars still up 3-2 in that series, but we're back in Colorado where the Lanch are a slight favorite in Game 6 tomorrow. Any thoughts on either of those two?
Well, some interesting numbers with both those. So the Colorado Avalanche are 6-0 in a series when they trail 3-1 in game number 6 or game number 5. They've won 6 straight games. But they're 2-14 in game number 6 when they trail 3-2. So interesting numbers there. Look, Dallas is the better team, but that was a gutsy win by the Colorado Avalanche last night.
Yeah.
They look like a team, you know, especially after what happened to them, you know, in game number 4, that I just didn't think they were going to have it in them. But, you know, look, Dallas's goaltender, Jake Oettinger, came up short. He just not one of his better games. He has to be better. You know, for me, the over is the play in this one. I love the value. I just think that, you know, these two teams traditionally, I think it's now 10 of their last 13 games, regular season and playoffs have gone over. So I'll play the over right now. That's what I'm looking at. And in Boston and Florida, yeah, look, Boston's going to get a boost from getting their captain, Brad Marchand, back. It looks like he will return after missing the last 2 games. The Bruins are just like a lunch pail hockey team. They don't have the talent that Florida has, but they just keep gutting out victories. Still, at the end of the day, for me, Florida is the much deeper team. They had a bit of a hiccup in game number 5. I think they win game number 6, and for me, I would play Florida on the puck line.
All right, so let me ask the basic question. Who's in the finals? Who's in the Stanley Cup finals, in your opinion, and who wins it?
I think it's Dallas and Florida in the Stanley Cup final. And, oh, God, I'll go with Florida right now because I think they've got the best goaltender between the two.
In Bobrovsky, we're talking about. Okay.
In Bobrovsky. In Bobrovsky, we trust more than right now. We trust Jake Oettinger.
All right, and then here's my question for next year. Obviously, we don't know the numbers. We don't have all of the betting markets up at all. But give me a team that either they stuck into the postseason, maybe they didn't even make the playoffs at all, that you think your hunches will be undervalued in betting markets heading into next season.
Oh, God. A team that's going to be undervalued in betting markets next season.
In other words, they got the worst of it this year.
I'm trying to think. You know what? I'm going to go with the Salt Lake whatevers. I think I would play their point total over next season.
The Utah Yetis. That's what it's going to be, Jonathan.
Utah Yetis.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Matt Brown and I kicked around the list last week of what they should
be. I remember. Yes.
I like
that. We talked about, don't we want to have the Utah Blizzard so they could face the Carolina Hurricanes?
That's what Jonathan wanted, yeah. You want storms colliding.
Utah Yetis is hot. Yeah, that's good. Hot, yeah. I like it.
Yetis is hot.
All right, Jonathan, we appreciate it. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
Always a pleasure, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Jonathan Davis, everybody. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at West Coast HKY. That's West Coast Hockey. Host of the host of Ice Cap on Sirius XM NHL. Host of Show Me the Money, the hockey betting podcast called Show Me the Money. Check it out.
Fan vote for the new name of the Utah team.
Utah Yetis. I like that.
Yeah, and it's going to be Utah. It won't be Salt Lake City. Which that was the first question I had for Matt, because, you know, right. The name kind of goes with the together.
Right, because the Yeti has been discovered in Utah.
No, but like Salt Lake City Yetis doesn't flow as Utah Yetis.
Utah Yetis would still be better than the oxymoron that is the Utah Jazz.
Right, yes.
Jumbo Shrimp.
There were a lot of names we had to question. We were like, what does this have to do with Utah? And then we Google and we're like,
Guest host. Utah Jazz. Of course, they hold over from New Orleans, which did make sense. More NFL schedule next.